Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out, Brandon Scott is in, and we are at BB's Tex Orleans up in Kingwood. Come through, hang out. We just got a nice little crowd here. The beer's cold. Food is good. People are better. And it's a good Friday, man. Really solid Friday. A little football Friday. If you got a high school game tonight, you're going to slide through here, get you a quick bite to eat, get you a couple. Pre-game is like what we like to call it. Pre-game a little bit up here at BB's Tex Orleans. If you can't get to this location, you're out there, you're listening. Hey, there's several locations around the city. Make sure you stop through. Again, the food is tremendous. Right when you walk in the door, boy, you know you're at a Cajun place. You know that they got that Cajun seafood. They got that Cajun grub. I've already had the gumbo and the boudin, which, by the way, anytime you go to a spot that is that claims one particular type, style of food, one genre of food, right, you got it. There's some staples there that you got to try. If you can't get the staples right, then you ain't worth a damn, see? And the truth of the matter is you go to BB's, and you hit that gumbo or you hit that boudin, and it's right. And you know, hey, I can't go wrong. Now, you may have prefer one thing over the other. It's fine, whatever, to each their own. But if the boudin's right and the gumbo's right, you're in the right spot, okay? I'm just here to tell you. And BB's has already checked both of those boxes for me. And, by the way, we just gave away a couple of these T-shirts. They didn't skimp on them damn T-shirts now. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing worse now. There ain't nothing worse. How many companies in the world have thrown good money at bad with some sorry hat that ain't nobody gonna wear?
Yeah.
Or a stiff T-shirt that makes your nipples bleed?
Yeah, I'm gonna wear this one.
I mean, this right here is it now. Come on.
And the nipples will not bleed.
We got about no, there ain't no, this ain't no nipple bleeder right here, yeah, baby. This
can't
is right
now. Without putting Band-Aids on your nipples.
To be fair though, it is a red T-shirt. We should point out.
Well, I wasn't worried about the blood.
I'm just saying, if they did bleed, how would we know?
Well, you'd feel it.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you can't see it.
Well, I wasn't worried about nobody else seeing it. I was worried about me feeling it. Hell, it's painful.
They feel good. The shirt feel good.
I don't know how we got here.
You brought up nipples, man.
But I'm going to tell you.
Did he not?
I mean, bloody nipples is never a good thing. I don't care how you paint it. Whether you can see it or not, it is not good. Man, woman, what color your shirt is, don't matter. It's a bad thing. Come hang out with us up in Kingwood, BB's Tex Orleans. We got these gift cards. We got a free oil change. We got Texans tickets, courtesy of them Houston area Ford dealers. And we got these T-shirts, chicken wings, cold beer, and football. They don't need but one more thing to make that a perfect five right there, baby.
Hey, how about it?
Look out now. $1 wings, boneless or bone-in. And all my teachers out there, nobody's come in and said they're a teacher. We got $1, and I'm sorry, not $1. We got free. I thought $1 was too little. We got free apps for teachers from 3 to 6 p.m. today, so you got two more hours to come on through and hang out with us and get that free app and, of course, get you some of these good drinks and good company. All right, there's been a lot of good that we saw with the Texans the last 2 weeks, and boy, do we need it. Boy, did we need it. It was a rough start,
yep.
And there was a lot of good. And now there's been a bye week, and I'm sure that we probably forgot about how good it really was. Other than scoring some points, 70-10.
Mm-hmm.
Outscored our opponent 70-10. Got a shutout there along the way. And did some really, really good things. I think that we found an identity on offense.
Yeah.
I hope and I think that we kind of shored up that run defense that struggled a little bit against Tampa Bay in that loss.
Yeah.
And so, you know, big picture, there's a lot of things that you can just look at and check the box score and say, hey, this was better. But I want to dig a little bit deeper here and remind folks what we saw, particularly on the offensive side of the football. Look, I think D'Amico Ryans got that interior defensive line figured out how to stop the run. The rest is history. We got a championship caliber defense. I don't have a lot to be concerned about or remind folks about. I mean, that's just what we've got. That's real. I think it's going to last throughout the season, barring a bunch of crazy injuries, which we've seen with Baltimore.
Yeah.
Barring anything crazy like that, this defense is going to be the real deal. Offensively, though, there was a lot of good that we had not. Most importantly, we had not seen it before. Right. Let's talk about the run game to start with. These three things happened, B. Scott, in the run game that we just flat hadn't seen before, all right? And I mentioned it multiple times. The offensive line, they changed something about their double teams. Okay. I do know what it is, but I don't know what spurred it. I don't know if they changed the technique. I don't know if a D'Amico Ryans walked over there and said, hey, man, I don't know what y'all are doing worrying about the linebackers, but y'all need to get movement on these down these defensive tackles. I don't know what spurred it.
Is something more than just communication?
Absolutely.
It's something more than just, hey, man, 100%. Get that guy, I'm going to get that guy. Okay,
it's me and you right here saying we're going to block that Coors Light sitting on that table and we ain't going to worry about nothing else. We're going to move that thing out to the parking lot before we worry about a linebacker or safety or anything like that. And we're moving mass is what we call it. Like that is – there is no doubt about it. And by the way, Titus Howard was on a little earlier. If you've got the Odyssey app, which I encourage everybody to do that, the AUDACY, get the Odyssey app. There's a rewind feature. Titus Howard, the right tackle for the Texans, was on with us at 2:20, and he confirmed what I've seen on tape, is that clearly they've been emphasizing double team, stay on the D tackle, don't worry about getting to the second level and blocking the linebacker. Get movement on that big joker right there in the A gap. We had not seen that previously. Yeah. That whether it was a struggle or they weren't coaching it, we had not seen that. All right, staying with the run game. I was difficult. I mean, I was rough on this old boy, and I think rightfully so. But I've got to tip my cap to him now. I got to make sure I got to tip my cap right now. Dalton Schultz and the physicality in the run game, willing to block and be physical in the run game, is we can't deny it. Right, the last 2 weeks have been really, really good for Dalton Schultz. All right, third in the run game, over the last two weeks, we've seen Woody Marks emerge. We thought he was good. We know they got aggressive in the draft and went up and got him, and that's all great. But he has emerged in the run game and the pass game in a big way against Tennessee Titans. Not such a big presence against the Baltimore Ravens, but we know what we've got in Woody Marks now in terms of an offensive weapon. So I think those three things right there, B. Scott, in the run game, we've seen over the last 2 weeks change. Not improve. These things changed, right? These things all of a sudden became a reality for the Texans. It wasn't like they were trying to do it before and just weren't very good at it. No, this was a change in plan, a change in approach, and they got it done in a big way. Now, can they take it on the road to Seattle versus a better defensive line and show some similar successes? And if they do, we got something.
It's all good points, man. The one that crossed over, I wrote a couple of down just as I knew that you were going to do this. And the one crossover that we got is the Dalton Schultz thing, man. Like, that's the thing that stands out the most. And a lot of it I do think has to do with the fact that you've been one of the ones that's been one of the most vocal critics of Dalton Schultz and the lack of physicality that we've seen in the past. But that's the past now. Like, we've seen that he is capable, that he is willing. And I would extend this point. I know we're singling out Dalton Schultz here, but I would extend this point beyond him and say the skill position players, like overall, the wide receivers, the tight ends, everybody seems to be involved, engaged in the run game. I'm looking at guys like Xavier Hutchinson. Of course, Nico Collins is a big body guy. I would point out Jaden Higgins is another guy that really gets involved in the run game, especially for a rookie. Love to see how enthused he is to get involved. Dalton Schultz chief among them, but all of the guys that are not offensive linemen have been much more physical in the run game. It stands out when you watch them.
I think it's very fair. Xavier Hutchinson is the one to me that he looks like he enjoys it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just getting in there and doing a good job. It's like you got to be wired different to enjoy that crap. I'm not wired in a way to enjoy it. Like it looks like most receivers aren't. It looks like he is.
Just to that point, all of the Iowa State guys seem to be like that. I think Hutch stands out the most out of all of them. But even the rookies, like people forget Jalen Noel because he's kind of a smaller guy. I mean, this guy lifts like a linebacker. The same thing with Jaden Higgins, obviously being a bigger body guy. All of those Iowa State guys, and I will put Xavier Hutchinson at the top, all of them seem to want to get involved.
All right, that's the run game right there. We saw the O-line double teams at a whole different level. We saw Dalton Schultz get more physical, or let's say get physical in a big way.
Yeah.
And we saw Woody Marks emerge, and as you mentioned, some of those other receivers emerge in the run blocking as well. Let's move over to the pass game. And here's what – look, I think some of this thing is obvious. We've been talking about this for years, some of us. C.J. Stroud working low to high. C.J. Stroud is clearly committed working low to high. We saw Dalton Schultz get involved in the first half in a big way. We saw Woody Marks get involved in a big way. We saw a lot of the underneath get through progressions and get the ball out, protect your offensive line, protect yourself. C.J. Stroud is working low to high. He's done that the last 2 weeks. Can he carry it? Can he take it on the road and do it again and not make it bigger than it is? Not let 2 weeks get to you thinking about how explosive you could be or what you could may or may not be able to do against Seattle. Just stay the course, man. Number two, Nico used at all levels. We saw Nico in a speed sweep. We've seen him in a screen game. We've seen him in a mid-range game. We've seen him take shots down the field in big plays. Now, they hadn't hit any of them. Of the big, well, I guess they double moved earlier in the season against Jacksonville, I think it was.
They did.
I'm talking about the last 2 weeks. They started out, I believe, the Titans game to throw a go route down the sideline. So Nico Collins is getting moved around both formationally as well as trying to attack all levels of the field, and they're handing the football to him as well. We saw last week 8 different dudes caught passes against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's real. I don't think that's going to happen. But to know that it's that we have the ability to spread it around like that if and when the opportunity presents itself is big. And then, as I mentioned a little earlier, in the pass game with Dalton Schultz, I think it's critical. I said this 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's proven out to bear fruit. If Dalton Schultz has got 4 or 5 targets in the first half, he's got 2 or 3 catches, 4 or 5 targets in the first half, then you know this offense is clicking. This offense is at least, well, whether they're clicking or not, whether they're scoring points or not, is irrelevant. But you know the approach is at least the low to high, get the ball out, protect myself, protect the offensive line. And to me, that's the tell-all sign right there, is if they are targeting Dalton Schultz in the first half of a football game, we know we're at least you know, chipping away at this thing.
So we got another crossover note, and I just love how you used it in football, or I would say in quarterback terms, and I used it in layman terms, regular guy terms. You talk about C.J. Stroud seeing it from low to high. I just wrote C.J. Stroud seeing the field better. Seeing the field better than it looked like he was in those first few games. He is absolutely seeing the field better, and you specify from low to high. I think the play that you've seen from C.J. Stroud as of late is absolutely one of those things that is sustainable going forward.
All right, those are the things right there that in the run game and the pass game offensively that we've seen the past 2 weeks. Can it carry over to Monday night, late Monday night, 9 p.m. kick here in Houston? Can it carry over against the Seattle Seahawks? I think if it does, the Texans are going to be a tough team to beat. If it doesn't, look out, because Seattle's a hell of a squad. So we will see how much of that carries over into the next game. All right, Thursday night football, y'all. Thursday night football was a hell of a football game, no doubt about it. It was entertaining for any football mind out there, right? Anybody that loves good quarterback play, you watch a couple of old heads go out there and defy Father Time. But there's a deeper, I guess, consequence, if you will, for the Houston Texans. I can't help but watch this stuff through the lens of the Houston Texans. We'll talk about Thursday night football, the game itself, and what it means, what it meant for the Texans moving forward. We'll do that next right here.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sports Radio 16.
Tight.
The sense of humor that the universe has.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans in Kingwood, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is. Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. We are at BB's Tex Orleans up in Kingwood. Come on through. We got Texans tickets to give away. Y'all, place starting to fill up. It's a nice little vibe in the building. Good little party crowd. They're eating as well, so don't worry about them. They're going to fill up their tummies. They're going to get a good base built on this Friday night. And we got to talk about Thursday night football, man. It was a good one. Before I do that, though, I want to give a big shout-out to my girl Ellie in the back here. Ellie with the party possums, baby. There she is. Hey, Ellie's got a softball game tonight, so she's not going to get to stick around to the end of the show. But I want to wish you the best of luck. Swing hard and run fast, sister. Swing hard and run fast. So, Ellie, good luck. Party possums, good luck. I got two little girls, man. They're looking up to you, baby. They're chasing you. They're going to be in your shoes one of these days. So I'm looking forward to it. Good luck. And come back to the next live broadcast and let us know how y'all do. Y'all come on back. Thursday night football, we got Bengals, Cincinnati Bengals 33, Pittsburgh Steelers 31. And, look, there's several storylines here with this particular game. You had quarterbacks that together, you had their ages together, they're about 84 or something like that.
Yeah.
So you had a bunch of old heads that were out there playing quarterback. But, boy, was it a beautiful thing. The quarterback in me, I just love to see high-level processors. I love to see even when Aaron Rodgers is moving around, you know, just tucking that front shoulder and sliding in the pocket and squaring his getting back in that neutral position, in that trigger position, and driving the ball down the field. I mean, so watching those guys that have to play with great technique is just, I mean, it's a beautiful work of art for me personally to watch. So there was so much to like about what we saw last night. But I've got to take it. I want to start with taking this thing from the Texans' perspective. I did not think about this, to be honest with you, when we were talking about Thursday night football yesterday multiple times on the show. I just assumed that the 4-1 Pittsburgh Steelers were legit. I assumed that they were going to go win that game. They were going to be 5-1. They were going to bury the Bengals in the division. They were going to bury the Ravens and the Browns in the division, and it was going to be a wrap for that particular division in the AFC. Boy, was I ever wrong. And Cincinnati comes out, and Ja'Marr Chase has a career night, 16 catches, 161 yards, and a touchdown, 23 targets. Hell, that included a couple of drops, if we're being honest. They had two or three drops. He could have had damn near 20 catches. But he has a career night. Joe Flacco goes for 350 and wins against Pittsburgh, right? And so as I'm watching this, enjoying it, I had a good time. And I wake up this morning and I start thinking about the show. And so I start kind of scanning the ESPN app, and I look up B. Scott, and a team that I thought, I'll be honest with you, I quit on them as soon as Joe Burrow got hurt and I saw what their plan was with the backup.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, I like Jake Browning when he was in college. He was a solid player in college. Took Washington to the college football playoffs, I believe, back in the day.
He did.
And but he just wasn't it. I mean, he wasn't going to get it done.
Not long term.
He wasn't going to scare anybody in the AFC. I mean, he was not going to keep the Cincinnati Bengals afloat long enough for Joe Burrow to come back. Right? Anyway, obviously Joe Flacco can. And so the game's over. They are sitting at 3-4 right now. And I look at the standings, and guess what? They're ahead of the Texans, right? And so I looked at Cincinnati, and I thought, well, they're gonna be the team that kind of just falls down the charts, and hopefully the Texans climb, and we're sitting pretty. And I still hope the Texans do that. But where I'm going with all this is, now Cincinnati's sitting at 3-4. And right now, as a Texans fan, we just got to be honest. I mean, until this changes, we got to be honest. We're not looking at winning the division. I mean, obviously, we're going to try to win the division, and I hope like hell we win the division. But the reality of it is, right now, we've also got to have a conversation about the wild card.
Yeah.
Right? And the wild card in the AFC, if the Bengals are going to be part of it, it's going to get real crowded real quick. Right? I mean, you've got Kansas City, San Diego, or Denver. Whoever doesn't win that division is going to be in the mix. You got, obviously, Jacksonville, who's ahead of us, and Indy, whichever one of those teams falls off, or the Texans can take over, right? So the point is
Buffalo and New England are both good.
New England's playing well this year. Now all of a sudden, you thought the wild card was not going to be impacted by that particular division with the Ravens, the Browns, and the Bengals falling off. With the Bengals playing well last night, and I don't think it's sustainable, by the way. I don't think this is one of those deals where all of a sudden the Bengals are going to make a deep run in the playoffs. But I do think they are going to be relevant in deciding the wild card, right? You look at the rest of the Bengals schedule the rest of the way, right? They're 3-4 right now. The rest of the way, and I just picked out the teams that last night's version of the Bengals beats, right? The Jets, the Bears, the Ravens twice, the Dolphins, the Cards, and the Browns, right? So, I mean, there's getting the 10 wins.
That's a favorable schedule.
There is a path to 10 wins.
Yeah.
Assuming Joe Flacco and Ja'Marr Chase and Brown, and they can run the football as well as they did last night, which is a long shot. But the point is, the schedule is friendly, and they are going to impact, whether it's them personally or games they win or lose, they're going to impact the wild card in a major way, which right now involves the Texans.
Yeah, so it changes how you might have even looked at this a week ago in terms of what was the Texans' best path. Like, when they start the season off this rough, when they're struggling the way that they were, you start trying to figure out, okay, is the best path the AFC South trying to win the division, or should we just accept at this point that this is a wild card team? And that depends on how much you believe in, let's say, the top of the AFC South. Do you believe that what you're seeing from Indianapolis is real, that Jacksonville can sustain what they're doing? If you don't believe in that, then you like your chances in the division. Otherwise, you're looking around at this crowded AFC field, and now the Bengals have entered the chat, right? And what's so funny about all of this is, when your quarterback goes down, in the case of the Bengals, right, Joe Burrow goes down and you got to rely on the backup, your season's supposed to be over with, right? The season's supposed to be over with. You try to salvage as much of it as you can, but you don't have your guy out there. He's your starter for the reason. We're talking about Joe Burrow in this case, right? So one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And then what does Cleveland do? Go and trade them a starting caliber quarterback, right? Like their actual opening day starter, and says, hey, here you go. Here you go. Here goes your shot. You know, instead of having to rely on a backup quarterback for the rest of the season, we're going to give you an actual opening day starter. Right? He was their starter to start the season.
He was 1 of 32.
He was 1 of 32. So we're going to give you one of 30. You got one of, let's say, 64. Right? Because everybody's got a backup. You know, so you got a first string and a second string. So we'll give you one of. You had 1 of 64. We'll give you 1 of 32. And so it seems like just a gift on a silver platter for the Bengals, but to their credit, they're making the most of it. And Joe Flacco does have to concern you in terms of the Bengals if you weren't taking them seriously before because Joe Burrow got hurt. You got to take them seriously now because Joe Flacco knows where to go with the football. That arm is still live despite the gray hair in his beard. Don't let it fool you. The arm is still live. And as we've talked about already,
They got the weapons for him to feed. It's the perfect and most ideal situation for somebody that age to come in and make an impact.
Well, yeah, to dial more in on the game instead of how it impacts the Texans, I agree. I think we've seen Joe Flacco make a big-time run with a team that had zero expectations. And let's be honest, they had lesser weapons. So it wouldn't be a shock to any, or shouldn't be a shock to anybody, if Joe Flacco puts enough plays together where Cincinnati can be in a spot when Joe Burrow gets back to potentially make a run, right, at a wild card spot and get in. That shouldn't surprise anybody. We saw it last night. I think you flipped this on the other side. You flipped the other side. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think it was obvious, the conversation that's been had about the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last, let's call it, couple of weeks, when people realize that there's a real chance that they could make a run. This could be a really good football team in 2025. The conversation's been they need another weapon. They can't do it with DK Metcalf and DK Metcalf alone. Now, last night, luckily, the big tight end that reportedly was on the trade block,
Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, Freiermuth actually stepped up in a big way and had a monster night and made plays. And so, but it was blatantly obvious watching the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. It was blatantly obvious that they lack weapons. Right? Forget about Aaron Rodgers. He's playing lights out, by the way. 250 yards, four touchdowns. He threw two interceptions. One of them was a piss-poor decision. One of them was just a great play by a DB that literally took it out of the wide receiver's hands. So it wasn't as bad a night as that two interceptions would say, I don't believe. But he's playing at an extremely high level. I guess where I'm going with it is I think it's blatantly obvious right now. It's never been more obvious after last week's national conversations about Pittsburgh. And then how this game unfolded, it was clear, regardless how many points they scored, regardless of how well the quarterback played, it was clear that the defense was able to take DK Metcalf out of the game, and it made life very difficult for the play caller and Aaron Rodgers. And so the way I see it is you got one team that could really impact the wild card in the AFC, that being the Bengals. It looks like that could be a very, very real possibility. And then you got one team in the Pittsburgh Steelers that it's clear right now, if you're going to pay a 41, 42-year-old, how old is he, 42? 40?
He's at least 41.
So if you're going to pay Aaron Rodgers and you're going to bring him in and play him and pay him, clearly you think you can win a Super Bowl with him. So right now you've got to go make a move for one of these receivers before the trade deadline hits. I think that is it's never been more obvious. In Pittsburgh, look. The other thing I'm thinking about is this is a similar problem that Aaron Rodgers has had before with his other employer, Green Bay. Right? Remember the years?
Yeah, no, 100%. And in all of those years where they didn't draft a wide receiver in the first round, and that was a contentious issue in Green Bay. I couldn't agree with your point more. I just think it's interesting how with Aaron Rodgers it seemed like, hey, he needed everything around him to be right. And I don't want to take too much away from Pittsburgh because they've had, you know, a really good year so far, and they seem to have surrounded him with a lot. But now it's like, okay, he goes to a situation where it seems like everything around him is perfect, and then all of a sudden we point out this wart where he doesn't have a secondary weapon outside of DK Metcalf, and now it's like, oh, wait a minute. Now are you going to ask too much of the 41-year-old quarterback? So it's just funny how the tide can turn that quickly.
Well, the interesting thing is I think we've seen enough. The 41-year-old quarterback can still play. His arm is still elite.
Arm is live,
it's elite in this league. You can win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback, right? I mean, now, how bad do you want it? Can you go get another weapon for him? Because this isn't an Aaron Rodgers, let's pacify him, let's baby him, let's go get him whatever he wants. This is, if you watch the Steelers, clearly they need another weapon on the offensive side of the football. Yeah. I mean, they got a running back that can hurt you in a pass game and a run game. They got a slew of tight ends that can help you. They just need another weapon so that they have a better chance of keeping up with a team like the Cincinnati Bengals when they run into them.
For years, it seemed like the Pittsburgh Steelers were a quarterback away. Now it seems like they're a secondary weapon away, or maybe the defense needs to be a little bit more consistent. Yeah. But it's not the quarterback.
They could use George Pickens.
Hey, I'm telling you, if the Steelers don't do what they want to do this season, if they don't realize their dreams or accomplish their goals this season, it will not be because they did not have a quarterback.
That's right. That's right. All right, there are two Texans players, y'all. There's two Texans players in particular that have to be used in an aggressive manner, one on each side of the football.
Okay.
They have to be used in an aggressive manner Monday night for the Texans to have their best chance to win versus the Seattle Seahawks. We'll tell you who that is and how they need to be used.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
Ew, that bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
We'll do that next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans in Kingwood, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yes, sir. We are live at BB's Tex Orleans. Live BB's Tex Orleans in Kingwood. Come on up. Hang out with us. We got all kind of giveaways, man. We just gave away some more T-shirts, gave away some more $25 gift cards from Academy Sports and Outdoors. And we got Texans tickets coming up. We got Texans ticket coming up about 5:30 or so. So make sure you come on through and get your name in the basket. Now get your name in the basket. We also got a oil change from Tomball Ford coming up. Look, bottom line is we're going to give away some things. There's no doubt about it. So get your name in the raffle box. But BB's Tex Orleans is where it's at, man. The food is tremendous. The beer is cold. The crowd is awesome. The staff is tremendous. And let me tell you, when you are at BB's and you got so many giveaways – that you can't hardly go to the restroom in the break. You know, it's a good day, man. The beer's cold, the giveaways are heavy, and the bathroom's clean, man. I damn near didn't make it back. Damn near didn't make it back from Rick, man. But
head
I tell
on
you,
the swivel, man. Head I, on the swivel
yeah,
out here.
Yeah, but both of them. But I tell you coming up this week, there's two Texans that absolutely have to be used in a aggressive manner. Right? They have to be used in an aggressive manner if the Texans are going to have a shot to win. I think there's one on each side of the football here, B. Scott.
All right.
And we briefly hit on one of them yesterday. And one of the problems for our defense is Jackson Smith and Jigba. He is not only proven to be more than just a slot receiver. He is proven to be a guy that's coming into his own, and he is a volume wide receiver. They are going to find him, use him, and he is going to produce. They're going to, if you want to know what a volume receiver looks like, look at Jamar Chase last night, 23 targets. Now, I don't think Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to get that many targets unless we get a 21-point lead on him or something.
Hey.
He is a guy that they are going to use, and they're going to use him often. They're going to depend on him. And so when you're and the other part of that is the Seahawks don't have a ton around him, right? I mean, he is one of the weapons that they rely heavily on. And if you can take him out of the game, then you've got a much better chance of being in this thing in the fourth quarter and a much better chance of potentially winning it. So the question is, defensively for this team, we've talked about it's a championship caliber defense that the Texans have. Defensively for this team, one weapon that they always have the luxury or one card that they always have the luxury of playing at any point in time is Derek Stingley Jr., right? Do you want to use Derek Stingley Jr. like you did back in, was it last year or the year before when the Cleveland Browns thing happened?
That's the year before, 2 years ago.
Year before last.
And that was that second matchup in the playoffs you're talking about.
So, well, at first, the first time he didn't travel.
Exactly.
And Amari Cooper went off for over 200 yards. Funny, we saw that. Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper went off for 200-plus yards. And the next time, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, we play the Cleveland Browns again. And D'Amico Ryans plays the card of Derek Stingley is going to shadow Amari Cooper, and he was all but kept out of the box score, and the Texans won. That is a card that the Texans have and can play at any point in time. I don't know that it's as simple as saying, hey, Derek Stingley, go follow the other team's best receiver, right? We got a lot of faith in Kamari Lassiter, right? We got a lot of faith in our system. And so if an offense has multiple weapons, I don't know that it's always the best idea to go, hey, you go, Derek Stingley, you go follow this guy, and we're going to take everything kind of out of structure in our defense to take that guy away. It's not always the best decision, but in a game like this, where an offense is so heavily dependent on one receiver, it is the perfect time to play that card.
Yeah.
And I don't know if D'Amico is going to speak to it or not, but I firmly believe that we will see, maybe not the whole game, maybe it's sparingly in critical situations, but we will absolutely see D'Amico Ryans play the Derek Stingley shadow card on Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Clint, I don't know how he doesn't, right?
Agreed.
And a big part of it is a point that you just made and kind of laying that out, and that's the fact that they don't have a whole lot behind or outside of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Of course, Cooper Kupp is starting to come along, and that's one of the things, like, just kind of as an aside, the Seattle Seahawks did a really good job of player acquisition in terms of, like, bringing in Sam Darnold, the Cooper Kupp move, and that's kind of been a slow burn so far. But it looks like, you know, if there's something that they can hang their hat on is that they're getting Cooper Kupp involved a little bit more than they were earlier on in the season. But look, this is not the Cooper Kupp of old. This is the old Cooper Kupp. You know, if you understand the difference between the two, right? So, to me, that makes it all the more important and urgent that you devote this resource, this one specific resource that you have, to this one specific strength that they have. You take this guy out of the game, and I think somebody on our comments section earlier in the week on our YouTube was making the point, hey, man, if the Texans can't take out one receiver, one guy that's a game breaker, they don't deserve to win the game. And I think that's a little bit oversimplified, but I understand where they're coming from with that. It's like, look, you got a shutdown corner, somebody that you just paid $90 million to. They got one guy that's a clear game breaker that's far and above, far and away beyond what else they've got going on. So it seems like the logic would dictate, and especially if you're looking at history and the things that you've learned from past failures, past shortcomings, past adjustments that you've made.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Amari Cooper thing from a couple of years ago. You learned that from 2 years ago. Don't make the same mistake that you made in week whatever that was against Cleveland 2 years ago. Go ahead and make this simple. Put Derek Stingley on Jackson Smith and Jigba and let the rest of your defense operate.
Well, it's definitely a card you can play, and it's a beautiful thing about this defense. We've talked about this defense a million times about how good it is, and they are really, really good, no doubt about it. But I think one of the things beyond just being super talented is they've got several different cards they can play, and they got several different unique players that have unique skill sets, and D'Amico Ryans can use them as a game plan or he can use them as an adjustment. And I think that's what makes this defense so good, is it's not a one-trick pony, man. There's several different looks they can throw at an offense, and even if you're a veteran quarterback and you believe you've seen it all, it still can surprise you. So I think that's on the defensive side of the football. I think the Derek Stingley Jr. Approach is big. I think offensively it's about their best player, right? I say their being the offense, our best player. It's about Nico Collins, man. Look, I'm on record. I do not believe that this is a game where there's going to be eight different Texans catch the football. I don't believe that we need to go into this game and plan on and waste snaps thinking that eight different guys are going to create separation and we're just going to throw, we're just going to distribute the football wherever the coverage tells us to go. You line up and you let a defense take Nico Collins out of the game. I do not think we can afford to do that versus this caliber football team. I just firmly believe that at the end of the day, Nico Collins is going to have to be moved around. I firmly believe that at the end of the day, Nico Collins is going to have to be used at every layer of the defense. In the screen game, absolutely. He's going to have to be used in the mid-range quick game. Going to be used in the deep game. They're going to have to hand the football to him. They're going to have to do some creative, some misdirection stuff with him as well. I think in order for the Texans to win this game, right, I think two things have to happen. And there's a lot that has to happen, but two things, like personnel-wise, that absolutely have to happen is Nico Collins has to be used in an aggressive manner and Derek Stingley Jr. have to be used in an aggressive manner, respectively, the right way on each one of their side of the football.
Yeah, and I will point out specifically with Nico Collins, and I think it was John, I'm going to get a hat tip to John Lopez on In the Loop earlier in the week pointing this out. We know that Nico Collins can be a man beater. He's been especially good so far this year against the zone. You're going to see a lot of that in Mike McDonald's defense and the Seattle Seahawks defense. Okay, so they play a lot of zone coverage. You got one of the better players in all of football against the zone, and we're not just talking about the zone. Obviously, you laid it out other ways that they could use Nico Collins. Now, I wouldn't be mad at Clint. I will say, just to push back a little bit, I wouldn't be mad at the idea of them being able to spread the football around, because what's another thing that we've talked about? C.J. Stroud's going to have to get rid of that ball quickly. He's not going to be able to pat the football, hold on to the football. He's going to have to make quick decisions, going to have to be decisive with the football. And whoever's open early should be fed the football. But I expect, in terms of a game plan perspective, for Nico Collins to be the emphasis of what they want to do offensively. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, man, it's kind of, you got to pull out all the stops, man. Nick Cayley's had, we're looking at a long training camp. We're looking at 6-7 weeks into the season, man. Nick Cayley's got to pull out all the stops to get this. And this is an absolute monster game.
But I am saying, hey, Christian Kirk, feel free to separate.
Absolutely.
Hey, Xavier Hutchinson,
absolutely,
feel free,
yeah,
to separate. Jalen Noah, feel,
yeah,
free to separate. I think that they should feed Nico Collins heavily, but all of these other guys, feel free to raise your hand.
It'd be nice for Nick Cayley's job to be a lot easier than I expect it to be. It'd be nice for him to have another one of them Sundays or a Monday like his last Sunday, which was in Baltimore. That's Brandon Scott. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. All right, look, Reed Shepherd balled out. Them old heads showed out on Thursday Night Football, and I'm telling you, I don't know the details, but NBA on NBC might be an absolute treat for all sports fans out there. There's a little news breaking in that world, for what it's worth. You're going to want to hear this. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.